Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome, or good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany on this bright and sunny Columbus Day. My guest today is Cameron Council Member Frank Commisso Jr. And Frank is going to talk about the upcoming budget and the talks and the proposals. So, Frank, good afternoon. Give us an overview.
Yes, thank you,
of
Cynthia.
Give us an overview of what is going on with the city budget.
Sure. And, you know, talking about the budget, you have to really put it in the appropriate context. Earlier this year, we had the city's credit rating downgraded from the AA classification down to the A classification. And, of course, we were just recently by the state comptroller, chief financial officer, New York State, rated as the city with the highest level of fiscal stress in New York State. The city has spent a tremendous amount of its reserves over the past handful of years. In fact, when this term started, the city had $20 million in reserves, and now our understanding is that the city has virtually no reserves remaining. So there's a context here. So the budget in any public entity, in any entity for that matter, beyond just the public sector, but it's a very important document that outlines the objectives over the coming 12-month period. And that's no different in the case of the city, but it's even more important given that the city has struggled so mightily with its financial management and financial controls. As it relates to the budget that Mayor Sheehan has proposed, there's a few things. You know, please note that, you know, we're going to have committee meetings, and I and hopefully other members as well will be reviewing the budget over the coming weeks and 2-month period upcoming, because we have to act on the budget by the end of November. And, you know, a few things jump off right away at us is, you know, this is the third consecutive year that Mayor Sheehan has changed the format of her budget. It came to light earlier this week. Myself and another council member who does a great job, Judd Crasher from the 11th Ward, actually did a bit of an analysis. And while the document itself, to somebody looking at Albany budgets for the first time, you couldn't tell where there was raises in the budget. In fact, there was a whole host of raises for the mayor's allies in City Hall embedded throughout the budget. And there was a policy decision made there that in the formatting of the budget that City Hall wasn't going to show previous year actuals. They weren't going to show the current year budgeted. They were just going to show their proposal for 2017 only. So, you know, we had to look at a few budget books, and after looking at a few budget books, it became rather clear that there was a whole host of employees that received some significant raises, and we put together a spreadsheet and put that up on Facebook, just a preliminary analysis of those raises, and we found nearly two dozen raises for non-union employees in City Hall. But what's really troubling about that is that there's a policy decision embedded into the mayor's decision to give out those raises, and that is that 2% approximately of the city workforce would receive pay increases in 2017, and the other 98% of the city workforce was going to be left out in the cold. And very clearly, as you would expect, those other employees that are there waiting to get union contracts settled, and City Hall has all its employees working without active labor contracts, they're very unhappy about the fact that there's raises embedded into the budget for those non-union staff that are controlled by the mayor. The other big piece here that I think folks will recognize and will be talked about over the coming weeks is that this budget, while it was fashioned by the mayor's communication staff as a balanced budget, it's nowhere near a balanced budget. The budget depends on $12.5 million of state aid. And, you know, I think it's important for folks to realize that even if the city is to get $12.5 million from New York State as part of the state budget process next year, and that's not guaranteed that that will happen, but even if there's $12.5 million provided by New York State, that will not provide any tax relief to citizens and businesses in Albany. Of course, there's about a 2% or nearly over $1 million tax increase, well over $1 million tax increase in this budget. It will not settle those outstanding labor contracts that I talked to you about. Would not fund new infrastructure projects. and doesn't offer any additional financing for a solution to the city's waste management challenges. So the money is effectively that is being asked for from New York State because of Mayor Sheehan's budgeting practices and financial controls that have been extremely weak over the 3 years that she's been mayor. It merely keeps the city's chin above the waterline. And that's not really good for the city. I'd rather have us have a balanced budget, go through a real process, which we don't have a real process in Albany, but go through a real good faith process, balance our budget, and really have a true balanced budget, not just one that the mayor's communication staff can say is a balanced budget. And then if we receive $12.5 million, be able to go make those investments in infrastructure, be able to reduce our tax levy, settle outstanding labor contracts, and really proactively go take a look here with the other municipalities in the capital region and say, we need a waste management solution for the and only a few years away, we need a real waste management solution. So those are a few of the preliminary issues identified, and this is just a week after the budget's been released.
These two, her cronies, is this a new phenomenon, or has it been going on pre-Sheehan administration?
Well, in the 2015 budget, the mayor had a whole host of raises in the budget for non-union staff. Last year, much of that was put to a halt for the 2016 budget, but now they're at it again. 2017, they have budgeted raises throughout the document, and those raises, again, they raise questions from the rest of the city workforce. When you have workers collect our sanitation workers, you have workers in the water department, folks who beautify our city, clean up our parks and our streets and our sidewalks, and you have police officers and firefighters, and you have a whole host of non-union staff as well, clerks and typists and the whole nine through City Hall. And they're looking at this saying, is this really fair that those raises being provided in a time of alleged fiscal stress for the city? Well, it's not alleged fiscal stress. It's real fiscal stress. But the mayor made a management decision here that those folks were to deserve the raises. And her budget director defended those raises the other night and said those employees are hardworking and they picked up new duties. Well, they may have picked up new duties. It's very possible. But there's a lot of city staff that have picked up new duties in the past handful of years. And you have to think about morale. And, of course, the voters next year will have to think about the mayor's management decisions. Was this really fair? And again, I think it's a key issue in the budget and speaks to, the inequity across the city workforce.
There's 15 town council members. And there's only a handful of you, less than a handful of you, who are brave enough to stand up, speak about what's going wrong in the city and what needs to be changed. When you go back into the chamber after, you and other people who have spoken out, what kind of a reception do you get amongst the people who are silent?
Well, I mean, a few things. I mean, there's not much communication that goes on the Common Council, unfortunately, and there's not a whole lot of focus put on the budget by the Common Council members. It's clear. I mean, I've hesitated in years past to really expose it, but one of the key issues you have is with competency among many of the council members. I mean, there are many Common Council members, I will tell you, that cannot read the document. They do not have the competency to be able to read the budget document. There's an esteem that the public holds Common Council members in because they're elected officials, and they think that, therefore there's a level of competency embedded in the institution because these people have been elected. But, I can tell you there's many of them that cannot read the document. For the handful of members that can read the document, there's allies of the mayor. And look, that happens. It's unfortunate that there's folks that put politics above good policy, but that's what's been going on in the city hall since 2014. And I think there was only a handful of people who realized it in 2014, and 2015 it was growing, and 2016 you have a whole host of people that now realize here in Albany that there is no real process. The Common Council effectively. And you know, it's sad to say, but the Common Council serves no purpose right now. The Common Council is not going to amend the mayor's budget proposal, if history is any indicator. Last year, for a spending plan that had $180 million of spending and $180 million of revenue, there was 360 million opportunities to potentially amend some line in the budget. But unfortunately, my colleagues on the Common Council felt that everything in that budget was appropriate. Every line of expense, every line of revenue, every dollar of it. So that's just unthinkable. I mean, how could it be the case that 15 people, if they really were thinking and they really were good thinkers and wanted to try to do the best things for their neighborhoods and more broadly for the city as a whole, how could it be that that there was no amendments made to the budget last year? And if you do see amendments this year, it'll probably be in response to remarks like I'm making right now, and they'll probably make very small token amendments to the budget just to be able to say qualitatively that they did make some amendments to the budget. But there's been plenty of opportunities to make changes to the budget in Albany. You know, we've had $3.9, nearly $4 million of red light camera revenue budgeted over the past 2 years. And the majority of the council and a majority plus of the council, not just a simple 8-member majority, but a large majority of the council, felt, no, there's, you know, that would be totally attainable. And they've kept those numbers in there. They've kept many other numbers in there. And it's a city that there are four-figure and five-figure savings laying all over the throughout all the departments. There's even some six-figure savings that are readily attainable. And if we actually had some good faith negotiations with our labor units, sat down and really communicated with them and they communicated with us, which is not happening right now, I would say that there's also seven-figure savings that are available in the city. But these opportunities to be a more efficient, effective organization with a reduced, restrained tax levy are not being pursued by the elected officials.
Now, in the past, I know there was the red light cameras. There was also closing of Ladder 1. What in this budget that might prove to be controversial?
Well, I think, you know, we talked about the $12.5 million wish from New York State. And again, I think the city should go through a good faith process here between the mayor and the Common Council and the departments, have a true balanced budget, and still have a request for $12.5 million, but use that money to invest in reducing the tax levy and invest in our infrastructure in the city. Those are key things, right? And invest in our workforce so that we actually have current contracts, invest in waste management solutions. But you won't hear much about the $12.5 million. I think, you know, and there are the raises that I talked to you about, and there's some new positions created as well in the budget. Those, I think, are something that will get some level of attention. But one item that I think is really needs further examination is that the mayor and her staff have allegedly in this budget will save a whole host of money on workers' compensation costs. That hasn't really been fully vetted yet. I mean, it's only a week in, of course, so in fairness, you know, I won't be critical that it hasn't been vetted yet, but I think it's rather suspect. If you look at the workers' compensation budgeted amounts in 2015, 2016, 2017, the number has really jumped all over the place, and I think it needs further research. I certainly think it does. You know, the way that it has been presented is that there'll be savings on the administrative end. Again, I really think that that needs to be examined. The budget itself, if you compare 2015 actuals to what's being budgeted in 2017, the greater savings is actually coming off of the programmatic workers' claim line. There's not much savings being budgeted as it relates to administration. So, you know, that will need some level of analysis and hopefully some handful of us on the Common Council and some folks from the public and perhaps some of the local media will take a look at that and really give it some consideration over the next handful of weeks about whether these savings are real. Because while the mayor and her staff and communication staff presented the budget as containing cuts, it's important that everybody remember there's no cuts in the budget. There's estimated or projected cuts. And if history is any indicator with the Sheehan administration, their estimates and their projections can quite often be wrong, and in many cases be wildly wrong. And we saw that with respect to the sale of property in Queens, which had been budgeted 2 years ago as generating $5 million of revenue. We never sold the property. And red light cameras are another great example that I use because there's already a built-in public knowledge of this budget line. But it was $3.9 million in revenue budgeted over the past 2 years related to red light cameras. So right there, in a short period of time, there's $9 million of projections that have been in place in years past, and they never came true whatsoever. So I think we really need to be careful here and cautious about these alleged reductions in expense related to workers' comp so that we don't have a budget problem on the back end of next year when we approach the fourth quarter of next year in the 2017 budget.
Now, am I correct in my assumption that you said that Albany is the most distressed economic municipality in the state? Is that a correct statement?
No. Albany is the fourth most fiscally stressed, according to the state controller, of course, fourth most fiscally stressed municipality in New York State. Of course, that measurement covers counties, cities, towns, and villages. Among cities, Albany is the most fiscally stressed municipality in New York State. Largely, if you actually look at the way that that is measured, that's largely a function of Mayor Sheehan's spending of the city's reserves. Of course, when you have $20 million in reserves, you're showing a much healthier balance sheet. Of course, when you spend all those reserves and you have no reserves remaining, your fiscal stress score goes up immensely. And it's really a great tool, metric that the state controller put together because what it does is I think it really alerts the policymakers, theoretically, and alerts the local media and alerts the public to some metrics that are equal amongst all municipalities in New York State and shows which municipalities are struggling the most. And among cities, Albany is, again, has the highest level of fiscal stress.
We live in the state capital. The legislature meets in January. The governor is up here a lot during from January to June. Has there been any talk of any kind of partnership or agreement that the state will work with the city to make Albany an economic viable city? Or are we on two parallel train wrecks?
Well, my sense is, you know, you have this request to New York State for $12.5 million. That stands alone. But you mentioned economic development and, you know, you think of job creation, and those are really the foundation of a successful municipality. You have people working, you have people with income, you have improved economic conditions more broadly. And you know, certainly, you know, we've just talked here for a while, and it's easy for me to point out a lot of the problems in the city, and it's easy for anybody to. But I think what's more challenging, but I think is really necessary, is there are solutions to a lot of our problems here in the city of Albany, right? You know, we talked about the budget before, but there's been never any real good faith attempt to ever control costs in the city. I mean, we have vacancies that are in the city budget. Those have never been controlled. And the mayor continues to post jobs and hire, even after announcing a hiring freeze over a month ago. There's been many new hires since the alleged implementation of a hiring freeze. And you talk about economic development, which I think is really a key issue in the city. And I think our struggle there has been more often than not that I've been on the council. This is my seventh year. I'm going on an eighth year on the council. And you know, the city of Albany is really following the suburban development model. Right. If you look at where the major projects are, the major new projects in the past handful of years, many of them are on the periphery of the city. Right. You have luxury dorms now being constructed on Washington Avenue. The city incentivized the construction of the Zen building on the SUNY Poly campus. And meanwhile, you know, I work in downtown Albany and take the corner of the intersection of State and Pearl. Well, you had a candy shop close last year on that corner. You had Brugger's Bagels close. Earlier this week, I actually understand that, and I haven't been on Washington Avenue in the past couple days or looked really closely, but I understand the Stewart's on Washington Avenue. And Stewart's, for God's sake, I mean, they have 350 stores in upstate New York and Vermont. I mean, they'll sell bread, milk, and eggs anywhere. And, you know, you have to get to a model where you're actually creating local income, creating local wealth. And how do you do that? Well, we do have nearly 1,000, by many estimates, vacant buildings, abandoned buildings in the city of Albany. And we have to go into these neighborhoods where you have the highest poverty rates, exceeding in some census tracts 40, 50, and 60%. And I'm talking about Arbor Hill, West Hill, North Albany, South End. And you have to put people to work fixing these buildings here. And it has to be Albany residents so that you create local income, local wealth, you fix your housing stock. And we're not doing that. We're just developing large $20, $25, $30 million projects on the periphery of town. These projects, in many cases, have very long tax breaks. The one deviation to what I just said about the geographic location of these projects is Park South, which, of course, Park South won't be paying any taxes until 2038. So we're really not achieving the objectives that we need to achieve in Albany, which are, again, to get local people to work and create taxable properties in short time frames. And insofar as we don't do that, we continue to have these budgetary struggles where you have a very high tax rate, certainly on the homestead and very even more so on the commercial or non-homestead properties. You cannot attract new development, and you get into this type of a death spiral that municipalities often get in, where you're just giving out tax breaks to achieve any new growth in the properties in your city, but you're not even achieving taxable growth. So that is really, I think, one of the great struggles with the city. And, you know, we just have a bunch of stale old ideas that folks in City Hall and the folks down at the Capitalize Albany Corporation have about economic development. And that is to attract these large tax, non-taxable projects. And it's not to the benefit of the city budget. It's not to the benefit of people in the city of Albany that desperately need work and that are have families in poverty. And if you need any indicator of that, certainly, you know, the Capitalize Albany Corporation, which, of course, administers our economic development policy through its control of the IDA and the Capital Resource Corporation, you know, they're not putting Albany people to work so that they can achieve a better living for themselves and their families. They're not fixing the housing stock in our most struggling neighborhoods that I mentioned earlier. That's not happening in the city. So that we continue to have these budgetary struggles when you have an uncontrolled budget in the city, you have no new taxable growth in the city. It's not a surprise. And unfortunately, you see that happening in other municipalities as well. Even locally, well, with the exception of Schenectady, of course, they have the new casino, which Albany, of course, had a chance to get and did not. But they're actually going to have a 3% reduction in their tax levy, which is good news for folks in Schenectady. But here in Albany, percent tax increase of over $1 million, by the way, because we have such a large levy, not to mention the $12.5 million that we're asking for New York State assistance with. And you have Troy across the river, the other large city in the area, and they have a 28% tax increase proposed by their mayor. And I will tell you, you know, a lot of folks look at Troy's budget and this 28% tax 28% tax increase that's been proposed by their mayor, and their jaw hits the floor. Well, if you take that $12.5 million out of the city of Albany's budget, and then you say, what would you need to raise taxes by to achieve that amount? You have a very similar tax increase that's embedded into the city of Albany's proposal. So Albany and Troy are not too different than each other. It's just that the mayors have taken different approaches. I disagree with the mayor of Troy's approach of raising taxes 28%, but I'll give him credit for it's a more honest approach, and it's more forthright and more transparent than what's going on in Albany, where Albany is selling the public and the media on alleged cuts to the city budget and alleged tax decrease, which by any measurement, taxes were increased by over $1 million in the city of Albany. So I give the mayor of Troy at least the level of credit he deserves for being more honest, even though I disagree with a 28% tax increase, certainly.
I'm sure that there's not a lot of people who are familiar with Capitalize Albany. Can you give a brief overview of what that is?
It is a entity that the city contracts with to administer our economic development policy. In short, they're located behind City Hall on Lodge Street. They're comprised of a board, many of which are not city residents, and they are effectively determining who will get property tax abatements in the city of Albany, for how much and for how long, mortgage recording tax waived. They are determining who will not pay sales tax on new projects. So they have a very large role in the city's economic development policy. And the city contracts will capitalize Albany to administer that policy. That's one approach. Other municipalities run their economic development policy in-house. But the mayor and the common council have allowed this arrangement to persist. I say persist because this is a structure that was inherited, in fairness, by Mayor Sheehan. But Mayor Sheehan was also a member of the IDA under Jerry Jennings, which I know Mayor Sheehan certainly doesn't like to disclose that to people, but she was a member of the mayor's IDA, which, of course, is controlled by the Capitalized Albany Corporation. And when folks are wondering why there is more and more tax-exempt property in the city and we're not actually having new taxable property come online, need to look no further than a lot of these developments that have provided property tax abatements that extend out to 20 and 22 years. So Capitalized Albany plays a big part of public policy in the city of Albany. It's not a very transparent entity. Of course, they hold their meetings during the lunch hour when very few people can attend. I've only attended a handful of meetings while I've been on the Common Council of Capitalized Albany Corporation because I'm often busy. I'm working and I'm unable to attend, and you know, you have 30 minutes for lunch and most folks can't make it. But Capitalized Albany is certainly an entity that plays a large role in city policy, and I think not for the better. And, you know, there's folks in city government like Mayor Sheehan and the city treasurer, Darius Shanifar. He's now a member of the IDA, who must think that this is just a great arrangement that the city has in place. But it's not in my eyes. And again, I would challenge the folks down on Lodge Street at the Capitalized Albany Corporation, the IDA and Capital Resource Corporation. Show me some folks from these impoverished neighborhoods I mentioned earlier that have received work and generated income based off of their policies. And I'm talking about folks in Arbor Hill, West Hill, South End of Albany, North Albany. That has not happened. And those are the areas that, as I had mentioned, and I've mentioned many times over the past handful of months, where you have these poverty rates exceeding 40% in many census tracts, some at 50% even, and even a handful exceeding 60% poverty rates, that's where you really need to rehab your housing stock and put local people to work fixing these buildings so that we have more affordable housing, we have local income, local wealth. That's not being achieved right now through the economic development policies of Mayor Sheehan and the Capitalized Albany Corporation.
One of the issues that was pretty controversial about maybe 2 months ago is the Palace Theater. What's going on with that?
Well, it sounds like the proposal is dead, and that's a good thing because that was representing it was a horribly inequitable deal for Albany taxpayers. We have a building that we've invested hundreds of thousands in many years and millions of dollars in over a number of years, and it's in great condition. I know that there's an attempt now to say that that building is not in good condition. We've done great things for that building. We spent a great amount of money on that building. And you know, the mayor conspired with her friends from Lake George and Saugerties and outlying areas that are on the board of the Palace Performing Arts Center, who's the current operator of the building, to sell that building for a dollar. And that's a decision that at this point in a four-year term, when you're entering year four, that should be left for the next mayor and the next common council to decide. It's too late in the game here to try to create some fake economic development opportunity. It was being sold as going to help Arbor Hill. I see no way that that would have helped Arbor Hill. In fact, it probably would have created some problems for the community there. And that should be left to the next mayor and common council to come in and actually go find a reputable operator there, a reputable owner, because I don't necessarily think that municipalities should be in the business of owning and operating historic theaters, by the way. But there are private owners, private operators that do exactly this in other cities, and we could get a good arrangement for the city where we have a surcharge on the tickets that are sold. This attempt to sell that building for a dollar, and luckily it appears to have died off because nobody's heard anything about it for quite a few months, unless they try to roll that one back out in the coming weeks or months. But that's a decision as it relates to that building. That decision should be left for the next mayor, next common council. I don't have any confidence that these folks in City Hall are trying to make the right decision on behalf of the people in the city of Albany. And if they were, they would be trying to actually get some sort of a fair compensation for that building. And there's nothing that has been represented back in July when this was rolled out that would suggest that there's any equitable compensation being provided for city taxpayers.
One last issue I want to bring up before we end this interview, and that's the municipal broadband. Now, it was brought up by Councilman Crasher quite a while ago. What had happened to that legislation?
Councilmember Judd Crasher from the 11th Ward had proposed a few years back that the city of Albany establish a municipal broadband commission that would be comprised of city of Albany residents. Obviously, they would have some knowledge about the technological framework, the legal framework of establishing such a commission and the financing needs, and they could have explored that concept, which other municipalities have moved forward with across the country. And even in New York State, there's some areas that are considering that, including down in Westchester. And it is just a very nasty political episode. Mayor Sheehan and her allies on the Common Council then promptly and swiftly stole the idea to do nothing with it. It's not that they stole the idea and actually did something with it. They did nothing for a year and a half with the concept. And now with election year coming, they need to look busy on quite a few different fronts and try to fool the people of Albany that they're doing something and that there's progress being made. So just a few days ago on Friday, the mayor approved a $39,000 payment to a outside consultant to come in and put that report together. And it's just a shame. I mean, it just shows that, you know, you have folks on the Common Council that a handful of folks that are actually thinking, trying to do their job and come up with an idea that, you know, after researching other municipalities, seemed like something that was worth looking at in Albany. And I agree it's worth looking at because it can be a model of economic development to have much faster internet speeds, much more accessible internet. And it just gets stolen for political reasons because you don't like an individual involved. And then they do nothing with it. It's not as though they stole it and did something with it. They stole it, did nothing for a year and a half with it. Mayor created some group of her own that was going to look at it and has done nothing. And then they just go waste $40,000 on bringing an outside consultant in. But it's not a surprise because that's typical for the way contracted services have worked in Albany under Kathy Sheehan. We spent $90,000 in her first year in office to get a report from an outfit in Illinois to study our Department of Building and Regulatory Compliance. And we still don't have a final report for that $90,000 later. We have consultants. We have a consultant that handles all our labor negotiations with our employee units. And we just talked before about how we have no active contracts with our employees. That consultant continues to make six figures a year off the city. So we have a situation in Albany where there are vendors that are not held accountable. And we have just a tremendous amount of spending on vendors. And there's no real tangible products that are produced. And now it's election year, and, you know, in the case of this Municipal Internet Commission, you know, folks in City Hall, you're going to see more of this stuff that, you know, they're going to want to look busy. They need to fill up their literature and make believe that progress is being made. And clearly, I think to the folks in Albany here in 2016, they know progress isn't being made, and they know that the city's not being led appropriately, and that there's no leadership in the city, and they know the city has a struggling budget. So they're going to try to distract, and they're going to do everything in their power over the next 11 months to distract from the real record, which is a record of increased taxes, increased fees, increased fines, no new taxable economic development, stagnant or increasing poverty rates, no reduction of poverty in those key neighborhoods. And there's really no service improvements that's taken place under Kathy Sheehan in City Hall. So they're going to have to distract from that. And if they have to pay a consultant $39,000 to do so, that's what they're going to do.
So this is a conversation that will be continued. I'd like to have you back on maybe the end of October or the beginning of November, and to talk about the progress of the budget negotiations at that point. So it's been a pleasure talking to you, Frank. You've enlightened many people with this interview. You've been listening
to Frank. Great, thank you for having me on.
Thank you. You've been listening to Frank Commisso Jr., who's a Cameron Council member in what ward, Frank?
The 15th ward.
Okay. And if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes, or if you have a comment or criticism about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany Twitter. Thank you. And Frank, if anybody wants to reach you, how could they do so?
Facebook, Twitter, phone, email. I've always prided myself since I've been on the Common Council now for 7 years on being accessible. From time to time, there is a lot of folks with questions or comments or criticisms, and those are all okay, by the way. And I get a little behind, but I promise folks reach out to me. I pride myself on being accessible and happy to talk to them about the affairs in the city.
Okay, what's the contact info?
Of course, I'm on Facebook and Twitter. My email address is commisso.frank@gmail.com. And that's all on the city website. And, again, it's on my Facebook page as well. So I usually find most recently that that is a great way of getting in touch with people. And, again, my phone number is on the city website, email on the city website. Yes.
Thank you, Frank. You have a great Columbus Day today. And thank you, everybody,
yes, you too. Thank
for listening.
You.
Have a great day. Bye.